Okay, we are up to Perek Gimel in Sefer Shmuel Beis, and David HaMelech is on the rise. Shaul HaMelech has been killed, and his house is on the demise. As we learn in the first pasuk here in Perek Gimel, Fatiha Mochama Aruka ben Beis Shaul ben Beis David, v'David Holech v'chazek, u'beit Shaul holchim v'dalim. David's going up and Shaul's going down. And this story continues that trend. The Perek starts off by listing off the six sons born to David. He has gone to Hebron to renew the Malchus after asking Hashem whether he should do that. So the six sons born to all different wives of David. And that's part one. Part two describes the man who Avner had put as king, Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth was the king for 2 years, as the previous parak said. And all of a sudden, Ishbosheth accuses Avner of taking one of the pilakshim of his father, of Shaul. Madua basa pilege shavi, which would constitute an act of morib malchus, as Avshalom did later in the Sefer to David. And Avner gets very angry, and he says, how could you convince me? How could you tell me that you do that? How could you accuse me of doing that? I did so much chesed for you. He doesn't literally deny. We'll talk about why not. But either way, he gets very angry. How could you accuse that way? And just for that, I am leaving, and I will fulfill the shvua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave David, that he will be the and he will be the king. Right? What happened there? Didn't we learn in the last parak that he darshened up Sukkim from Parshas Vayechi that there should be two kings? So Mistami, he thought that just like Shaul was the king for 2 years, he was the king for 2 years, Ishbosheth, and now it's time to move over to David. And that's why Ishbosheth doesn't answer, because he is obviously scared of this major general. Vayishlach Avner Malachim, so Avner turns around, follows up on his word. He sends to David and says, I'm ready to make a treaty with you. I'm ready to make you king over all of Am Yisrael. David says, fine, with one condition. Bring me back Michal, Bat Shaul. I want my wife back that Shaul had taken away from me. Fine, so he sends her back to David, and after he does that, her husband, Michal's husband, Palti ben Laish, her husband in the interim, we've mentioned in the past whether they really married or not, wasn't she really married to David. We'll talk about that again, Bez Hashem. And on the way back, Avner says, enough, you have to turn around now. He turns around, the wife comes back to David, and then after that, Avner himself comes with the Ziknei Yisrael and goes to David and says, you should be the king and let me do whatever I can on your behalf. He goes to speak to all the Shvatim, even the Shevet Binyamin, who had supported Shaul and who he had convinced to support Shaul and Ishbosheth, but Avner convinces them otherwise. It's time for David HaMelech to reign. And that's what happened, and they make a treaty, and David says, wonderful, lech, go b'shalom, and go in peace. Yoav had not been there before. Remember, Yoav was still very angry, and he wanted revenge for the fact that Avner had killed his brother Asael. So when Yoav confronts him, and maybe he knew that there was a fight with Ishbosheth, maybe he didn't. Either way, he didn't trust Avner, and he wanted revenge. He takes him into the corner, and he sticks a sword into him in the same exact spot by the fifth rib, the same exact spot that Avner had killed Asael. Yoav kills Avner. David hears about it and wants to make sure, not only the truth, but I'll make sure that everybody knows the truth and how he feels and that he had nothing to do with this. He says, Naki anochi umamachti mi Hashem ad olam. I am clean, I am innocent, I had nothing to do with the killing of Avner. Avner was a great man, and as a reaction, he curses the family of Yoav. Amazingly, he curses all the descendants of Yoav. They should all be these terrible things. Zav, Mitzora, poor, hungry, chaser lechem. And Yoav and Avishai, the pasuk describe, killed Avner purely because of the revenge of what he had done to Asael. David then tells Yoav himself, Kiru b'gdeichem, tear your clothing. You were the one that caused this, but you have to tear your clothing. Show everybody that there is a velus going on here. We are in mourning. David goes to the Levaya, which we'll talk about, cries, and David makes a second kina in three prakim. He had a kina for Shaul and Yonasan, and here it is again. Vayikonein HaMelech al Avner. Makes a kina. He says, oh, how could you die such a death? Nothing happened, and you didn't mean to have it done, and you didn't even fight, and you were a warrior. And he gives a kina, and again he mourns, as he did to Shaul and Yehonasan. The people try to cheer him up a little bit, they try to give him some food. He says, no way, I'm fasting today, I'm not touching anything. Do you know how great Avner was? Do you know what a sar gadol nafal hayom hazeh? And David, his reaction again strengthens him in the eyes of Am Yisrael. So that is the story. That is number two person who is killed out. So Shaul and Yehonasan were killed. And now Avner, who was the general of Shaul, was killed, even though he was already on David's side. And as we'll see in the next parak, one other person, which will lay the groundwork for David HaMelech taking over without anybody left from the previous Malchus. Okay, here we go. Pasuk Aleph, in the beginning of Parak Gimel. We already read the first Pasuk. David's going up, and Shaul's Malchus is going down. What happens next? Vayivoldu leDavid banim beChevron, and David had children in Chevron. It lists off Amnon, who is going to come back later in the par in the Sefer. Kilav is the son of Avigail, a brother of Shlomo HaMelech. Kilav is why was he called Kilav? Says Rashi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shahayu Leitzanei Hador Omrim, the scoffers of the generations. Right, we know this lashon from the beginning of Chayesara. The scoffer of the generations is a knefa that mi Naval Haisa Avigail Muberes. Maybe Avigail was pregnant from Naval before he had his heart attack, and really Kilav is his son and not David's son. Nefa Klasterovin in Mel Aviv, just like happened to Yitzchak Avinu, so to here he looked like his father. Kilav like Ke'av, he looks like his father. That is what Rashi quotes. Besides, the Gemara in Brachas Dav Dalet gives another pshat, but that's Kilav. We also know that Kilav was one of the four people, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Baba Basra, that never sinned. The four people, Kilav, Amram, Yishai, and Binyamin, are the four people that never sinned. What's the connection between all those four? So, pshat is given that all these four people were very close to a person who made the difference in Jewish history. Kilav to Shlomo, Yishai to David, Amram to Moshe, and Binyamin to Yosef. Meaning, a lot of times, leaders aren't going to be perfect. If you want to stay home and not make a difference in life, and just worried about oneself, so anyone can be perfect. But Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Yasdav Lo Yechta. We have to do our best. We might make mistakes, but those are the people that are the leaders of Jewish history. But Kilav was one of the people that never sinned. So, the sons of David are Amnon, Kilav, Avshalom, also, we're going to have his rebellion later in the Sefer. Adoniah ben Chagis, we'll have him in the next Sefer. Shvatya ben Avital, and the last son, the discussion in the Gemara is not about the son, but about the mother. Yitraam le Egla Eishas David. Who was Yitraam? Born to Egla. Egla is a wife that we never heard of before. Eishas David. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that really, Egla is a nickname for Michal. Michal, who he gets back later in this parak. Nicknamed her Egla, as Shimshon called his wife Egla, of term of endearment. So to hear, she was very, very beloved to David HaMelech, so that's why she's called Egla. The Radak quotes, that doesn't sound like it, and he gives two other pshatim. Either she was just another woman who was not mentioned before. If you say that, then why isn't Michal mentioned on this list? You can say she didn't have any kids. She didn't have any kids. Chazal say that if it is Michal, so then the pasuk later on in the Sefer that says she didn't have kids, it must be she didn't have kids after the event later on. But she had kids earlier, like here. But if you say Michal's not on the list, you have to explain why she's not on the list. Maybe she didn't have kids at all, right? Or suggest the Radak in a third shot. Again, maybe it was, according to what Chazal say, maybe it was a different woman. Or maybe, number three, Vish Lefarish Ode says the Radak, maybe Egla was a wife of Shaul. A wife of Shaul HaMelech. And after Shaul dies, David takes that woman. And even though the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that a person cannot marry an almana of a king, but a king can marry an almana of a king. And even though that's a machlokas tanoim, well, the psukim, according to me, says the Radak, I think, sound like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a melech can marry almanos of Shaul HaMelech. And if that's true, why did David do that? To strengthen his malchus. To strengthen his malchus. But Shaul is not the king, and now I'm going to be the king. And this poor woman can't marry anybody, so I will marry her. 3 days in the Radak, who Egla was, and that's why it emphasizes Eishes David. Emphasizes Eishes David, because she was only ra'ui to be Eishes David, suggests the Radak. Okay, so these are the six boys born to David in Hebron. Vayibiyos ha-melchama, and the melchama continued, and the war continued between the house of Shaul and the house of David, and here's the story of Avner. Shaul had a pilegish named Ritzpah Basaya, Vayomer al-Avner, and Ishbosheth says to Avner, why did you violate the pilegish of my father? This would have constituted, if it was true, it would constitute an act of Mor B'Malchus, a rebellion. We know later on, in Perak Tes Zayin, Pasach Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, when Avshalom wants to rebel against his father David, he asks Afich Achitofel, what should I do as an act of rebellion? And Achitofel tells him, Bo el Pilag She Avicha, Asher Iniach L'Shmar Habayis. Be boa, be with the pilagshim. V'shama kol Yisrael ki nevashta es avicha, v'chazku yidei kol asher itach. And if you do that, everybody will realize that you are overtaking David. So it's an act of rebellion. So that was the accusation here. Vayicha la'avner mod, Avner gets very angry. Gets very angry. There is a machlokas in the Mefarshim. Well, was it true or not? He doesn't deny the charge. So if you look at the Marikra, one of the Mefarshim here on the bottom, he did not do it. That's why he was so upset. But the Malbim is not so convinced. The Malbim, the Abarbanel, the Malbim says no. He never denies it, but he's upset that that Ishbosheth is upset about it. Why? Because Avner thinks that Ishbosheth is only the king because of him. So he's basically a quasi-king himself. And even though it says, Pilegesh HaMelech Asur LeHedyot, but I'm not just a Hedyot. Avner Lochash Lezeh, says the Malbim. Ubal Pilegesh HaMelech Ki'ilu Gami Lov. Yo'usub Inyone HaMalchus. Bi'oshu HaMish Enes El HaMalchus. He's the one that's supporting the Malchus. And that was very upsetting to Ishbosheth, but obviously Avner felt otherwise. So, Vayichal Avner Ma'odi gets very angry, al Dibri Ishbosheth. Vayomer, and he says, Harosh Kelev Anochi Asher LeYehuda. Am I the head of a dog? Asher LeYehuda? Many different pshatim what this means. I mean, is he calling Ishbosheth a dog? Am I your general? Or is he saying, you know, I'd rather be, you know, if I was the head of a dog, said by David, he wouldn't have spoken to me that way. Harosh Kelev Anochi, either way, he's very upset. Hayom es hachesed be Shaul avicha, I've done so much chesed with Shaul your father. El echa, vel merei eyu, with everybody. Veloim si sicha bi David. And I helped establish your malchus. And this is what you do? This is what you do. Koyasa elkim avner v'ko yosiflo. And he makes a shvua that he says, just like Hashem swore to David, I swear that I'm going to help David become the king. The Chida points out that, interesting, that this is another story about Shevet Binyamin being affected negatively by a story about a Pilegesh. Obviously, the end of Sefer Shoftim, the Pilegesh Begiva story. And here's another one, where Ishbosheth loses his general, which is really the end of his Malchus, basically, based on a story about a Pilegesh. So Avner says, I am moving, I am jumping ship, I am going to David. Vayishlach Avner malachim al David. So Avner turns right around, sends messengers to David, tachtav. Interesting, what does that mean? Tachtav, Chazal Darshan, maybe he did something a little wrong in the letter he sent to him. He wrote his name on top and David's name on the bottom. Either way, Tachtav, Lemar, Lemieretz. To who is the land? Either is an acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Rashi suggests, who should own the land? You! You are the one that should be the king. That's how he starts off. Lemar Karsa Brischa Iti, please make a covenant with me. Vine Yadi Imach La'Seva Lechaz Kol Yisrael. I'm on your side. Vayomer Tov, and David says, fine, let's make a treaty, but first you have to bring me Michal Bashal, Bevoachal Lir Oses Panoi. Before you come, you have to bring me Michal Bashal. Why was this the first thing that David says that he's interested in? Says the Musar HaNeviim on this pasuk. Mashadaresh David me Avner, Sheach Ziru Lo Reishas Kol, Es Michal Ishto, Nirish Ezeo Mishum, Shedaito Haisa, Ki Hu Be Emes Hayore Shal Shol, Lios Melech Yisrael Makomo. To show, look, the two, Yonah's son was killed. And now Ishbosheth is no longer powerful. So who else is going to yarshin the Malchus? If not a son, a son-in-law. That's why he did it. Shari lo nishar mishol echan mibandav shari mishtatev b'chayev anagas ha-malchus. Right, there was nobody left. Shloshas bandav nergu. The earlier sons were killed. Ishbosheth nishar b'chayev v'yanir lo haya roi klalios melech v'yisrael. Right, there was, Ishbosheth wasn't roi. He wasn't mentioned even earlier in the sons of Shaul, quoted back in Shmuel Aleph, because he wasn't roi for the malchus. V'yim kain nimsa shehu b'chatno shel Shaul tzarech haya lios yorish ha-malucha. So he has the son-in-law, should be the Yorish. Laficha Chamar David. So he says, bring him back so that this will be Ma'asher, the schus of my becoming my becoming the king. Obviously, he didn't need anything. David already Hashem already told him, but that was the symbolism, even maybe to the outside. But you saw David Malachim Elish Boshes Ben Shalimar, and David, besides requesting that from Avner, he also doesn't want to step on Ishbosheth's shoes. He says, please send me back Michal, who I got from Shaul for 100 Arlos Plishtim, and Ishbosheth sends her, and she goes with her quote-unquote husband, Palti ben Laish, here called Paltiel ben Laish. He had Shem Hashem added to him. Why? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, an amazing Gemara, that he did not live with her at all in all the time that he was with her. He stuck a sword in the bed between them so that he would have a constant reminder. Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Levitt says, that's what Yadus is about. If I feel inspiration, if I feel that I'm focused, I feel like I'm into something, I have to do something, I have to take precautions so that the feeling lasts. Hu chashash, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, it's quoted in the Mishpat Zohar, says Salida zu tafug b'meshach hazman, his feeling of staying away from her will soften over time. Va'alul hu lipol b'reshes ha'yetzer, maybe the Yetzer is going to get him, because really, she's married to David, so Palti can't live with her. V'lachein bo'os ha'shon, isor lahar gishlov and eschomar aveira, at that moment that he feels it start, when he feels it, no'at esacherev, so that he constantly remembers. Well, we mentioned this many times from the Shemana Tov about the Akedah, that the Medrash tells us, Yitzchak Avinu on the way to the Akedah says to his father, make sure that you tie me down very well. Right now I feel inspired, but maybe when I'm up on the altar and I see the sword above me, I'm going to move around and I'm going to passel the Shechita. So, Akdeini Yafe Yafe, Kaftani Yafe Yafe, tie me down. What's the emphasis? What's the message of the Medrash? And why do we call it Akedas Yitzchak? That detail, the abiding of Yitzchak, because it shows that Yitzchak, when he was inspired, took precautions for the time when he wouldn't be inspired anymore. And he said to his father, right then, Kaftani Yafe Yafe. Says of Chaim Shmuel Levitz, it's the same thing right here about Palti ben Laish, and that's why he had the Hashem's name added in. Even so, Chazal continue there. Then what does the pasuk say? When he was walking with her, he was crying. Vayelech ita isha haloch ubacho achareha ad bachurim. He was crying all the way. Why was he crying all the way? So Chazal say, he was crying because he wouldn't have a chance anymore to do this unbelievable mitzvah that he had the power to be kovish his yetzer all this time. Which is somewhat unusual. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that you're not supposed to ask for nisyonos. So when a nisyon is removed, it's great. Unless you say, after you've conquered the Nisayon, so then maybe it's different. Either way, David, we say every morning, below lo lava the Nisayon. Right? David HaMelech said, test me. Didn't work out so well, as we'll talk about later in the Sefer. But either way, this was Palti ben Laish, and he walked with his wife, and then turned around, and Avner took him. Avner says, Lech Shuv Vayoshov. So Avner brings the Michal to David. Also remember, just we're not going to review right now, our Shiurim back in Shmuel Aleph and Parachaf Hey, where we talk about what exactly happened. How did Shaul give Michal to Palti ben Laish? Were they not married? The Gemara says that he thought that David's Kiddushim were Kiddushei Ta'us, and they were really not. Right, and if that whole issue has enough gemina, whether David takes her back, if he really had been married to, she had been married to somebody in between, there's an Israel Machzor Grushaso, La'achar Shenitmeis. So, and that's a big discussion that we had then. The Radak has a long piece at the end of Perachav Hei, earlier in Shmuel Aleph. Okay, so Avner comes, and he comes to David, and then he goes all over Am Yisrael to get them to support David, even to Shevet Binyamin, and he goes to Hebron, and he has a meeting with David in Hebron. They make a treaty, Vayishalach David es Avner, Vayelech b'shalom. And he goes, and he sends him b'shalom. That is what he sends him out. He never came back. Right, Chazal say, l'shalom is better than b'shalom. The Gemara at the end of Brachas. Right, that is the that is the bracha, but here it was b'shalom. David's servants and Yoav were coming from a battle, and they realized that Avner is around. They hear what happened, but Yoav tells David that I think he's a liar. I think he's just making up a story, and David doesn't really answer. But Yoav goes out and takes care of business. Vayoshev Avner Chevron. Avner is brought back to Chevron. Yoav goes pasuk chav zayin. Vayateu Yoav el toch hashar. He brings him to the gate to speak to him, Bisheli, as if he's has something to say to him. Shar, though, the Gemara Darshins, is a reference to the Sanhedrin. The conversation that we mentioned yesterday, I think I misspoke in the last year. I said it was a conversation that Shlomo was having with Yoav. No, it was about Yoav was having with Avner. Yoav says, why'd you kill my brother? He says, he was trying to kill me. He says, oh, no, but you should have killed him with one of his limbs. He says, I couldn't have killed him with one of his limbs. So Yoav says, you were so exacting in where you killed him under the fifth rib. And he then goes, Vayamas, and he did this in Bezdin. He didn't wait for the Psak of Bezdin. And Vayamas, and he kills him as revenge for Bedam Asael Achiv. David gets very upset at this. And also the Mefarshim are bothered. Why did he get so upset? He was the Goel Adam. The answer is maybe this isn't just a regular Goel Adam situation. They were in war. It wasn't that he killed him b'shogeg, and if he was he violated a little bit of Din Rodef. Who says this is Din Rodef? This isn't a Ritzicha b'shogeg. So it's not so clear that Yoav was able to do this, and obviously to David HaMelech he was not allowed to. Vayishma David Ne'achrechen Vayomer, David says, his reaction, Naki Anochi Mamlachti Miyem Hashem Ad Olam. I'm innocent. I have nothing to do with this. Yachulu arosh Yoav el kol beit aviv. Vayikares mi beis Yoav. He curses the family and the descendants of Yoav that they're always going to have trouble and be poor and zav and mitzora, all these things because what he did to Avner. David himself says here, I'm not going to take care of it because they're stronger than me. That's what he says right here. But he leaves it to, maybe he saw that he wasn't supposed to take the revenge right now. And he was going to wait to command his son Shlomo to take care of Yoav later. He continues, maybe also he didn't want to take care of Yoav now because he didn't. He felt there was some need for him in the future. But either way, what does he do? His emphasis was to make sure everybody realizes he had nothing to do with it. He tore his clothing. He tells Yoav to tear his clothing. And he goes, Acharei Hamita, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The Gemara in Sanhedrin also tells us that really kings don't go to Levayas. They're not supposed to. Melech is Eino Yotze Achar Hameis. But, says the Gemara, David went out to make sure everybody realizes. Again, he had nothing to do with this. Lahotzi mi liban shel Yisrael, shelo yachshaduhu ki be'etzaso neherag. The Radak quotes it. David went out, he wanted to make sure, again, everybody realizes he had nothing to do with it, and that's exactly what they realize. The Noda Behuda has an interesting tshuva in Arachayim, Kama, Simalamadalid, where there was a merchant. There was an elderly merchant who was begging Balabais to give him merchandise to do business with. I'll do work for you. I'll travel for you. And the guy's like, I don't really need to do work. And the wife of the merchant saying, don't go. You're old. Something's going to happen. But this guy really begs and begs and begs for the merchandise. So finally, the guy says, fine. Here's the merchandise. Take it from me. The guy goes and takes it and dies, is killed on the way. Rachman al-Itzlan. The Nerag. And the question is that the Balabais asks the Noda Behuda is, does he have to do any type of tshuva kapar for this? He was his shliach. So Noda Behuda says, no, he does not. Why? If you send a shliach, then fine. But here, it was the shliach's own decision. He was begging you to send him. That the achrayus is on the one who's traveling. And therefore, I don't think you have to do any tshuva. And he says, what's my raya? I'll give you a couple of rayas. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu David, an masa yeh avon zeh tamun biyadcha, al yadcha ne'erag novi rakonim. Right, David HaMelech is blamed somewhat, we'll see this later, it's Gemara in Chelek, for the massacre that Shaul committed by Nov. Val yadcha ne'erag doeg, val yadcha ne'erag Shaul u'shloshes banav. He's blamed for doeg, blamed for Shaul. Why was he? He's blamed for all these, which is a problem. Why was he blamed for all this? And Chazal explained it. But the Noda Behuda asks, why isn't there somebody else on the list? Why isn't he blamed for Avner's death? Our parak. He's blamed for Doeg and for Shaul and for Novi Rakonim. Why not Avner? The answer is because David didn't tell Avner to go out. It was Avner's own doing. Kivan she David lo hischilim Avner she yavo lichros bris. Rak Avner haya hamaskil she shalach al David karsa brisiti. Vayis hakavanas Avner gam l'tovas atzmo. Lihinakim Ishboshes. He also wanted to bring up David to put down Ishboshes. So you see, David is not faulted for this because it was Avner's own idea. Okay. So the parak ends off. David is mekonein Avner. Again, I can't believe you died this way. Yadecha lo asuras. Your hands weren't tied. Your legs weren't tied. Some say the Ber Moshe says that means he always did a lot of mitzvahs with his hands, with his legs. And they continue to cry and cry for him. They even tried to give him food, Sudas Havra. And he rejected it. I'm not going to eat today, which is one of the sources for fasting on a yard site. There is an interesting radak here, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chaf. The Gemara Sanhedrin has a Kri Niksiv, which we don't have. The Gemara says on Pasuk Lamed Hey that they came to Lahachros as David, to cut him, meaning they were upset at him, and then they realized he was so honest and upset, it was Lahavros. They gave him to eat as soon as Havra. The radak says, in all the Sfarim that I looked at, we don't have this Kri Niksiv. interesting to note, sometimes the Gemara has kriz and ksivs that we don't have. But the Am realized that David had nothing to do with it. Vayomer HaMelech al Avadav, Halotedu, and David HaMelech, David again says, realized what a great person Avner was. Right, there's Pesukim in Melachim also, that he was a great person. Vanochi Ayom Rakam HaShoch Melech, I'm a young, I'm just starting my Malchus, and the Bnei Tsruya, my nephews, Kashimi Meni. Right there, Kashemi Mani, Yishalem Hashem, Hashem will take care of him. Hashem will take care of him, and that Bez Hashem, there's a lot of seeds that are planted in this parak that are going to come up later in the Shmuel Beis, right, all the sons that are born, Amnon and Avshalom, and others, and even the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Melachim Aleph, where Yoav is going to get his due as well. Okay, we'll stop here.